The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday, getting through the snow. Patience, patience. Just enjoy Waddle and Sylvie and ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight's in for Waddle. Waddle's enjoying some vacation. Black and Abdallah are here. We'll get to Jason Wilde in just a second. So many different ways to listen, whether you're watching us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Download that ESPN Chicago app. Anything you miss on this show, get it easily on demand. You can listen live. It's absolutely fantastic. All your favorite shows, Cap and Jay Hood, Carmen and Yurko. It's all available for you there. White Sox Weekly, as Connor McKnight is doing now these days. Some great, great stuff right there at your fingertips on the ESPN Chicago app. Today on the McAfee Show, Pat McAfee Show, Aaron Rodgers has been doing the weekly interview with him all year. It's been very, very entertaining. And I want to play you something. His reaction to all the fallout after the Packers lost, based on his comments from Sunday in the press conference and how he has interpreted this. Take a listen to Aaron Rodgers today.
I didn't really see a whole lot until maybe yesterday, and then I realized there were some things swirling around. I don't feel like I said anything that I hadn't said before. I said it the first time I talked to the media. It was more a realization, I think, that my future is not necessarily in my control. And I think that was what just kind of hit me in the moment. I was thinking about, Aaron Jones and Corey Linsley and other guys we have under contract, Big Dog, guys who I don't know what their future is going to be, and myself included. Now, obviously, after the season that I had and, potentially win an MVP, and, we obviously made it to another good run. I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But, look, I think there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, just I didn't do it, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
Now let's talk to somebody who speaks Rodgers, and that is our buddy Jason Wilde. He works for ESPN Milwaukee, does the show every single day with Mark Tauscher, and he Wilde. I thought we were going to be talking to you this week or next week, but about previewing the Packers in the Super Bowl. But instead, we are talking on the Corona Hotline about Aaron Rodgers' future. What is your reaction to the last 48 hours?
I don't have a reaction, Sylvie, other than being happy to talk to you. Look, I'm fascinated by, and he and I have discussed this multiple times, he has an incredible talent for answering a question in a way that placates everyone, and they all, it's almost like he's, I don't know if you guys have dogs, but like, I love the pump fake fetch with our youngest dog, Sadie. Like, you pretend you're throwing the ball, she goes running, and then she realizes the ball hasn't been thrown. And the way he answers questions, he's the master of it. I don't think, and he put emphasis on think right there, that there is any reason why I wouldn't be back. And I'm seeing all these headlines all over the internet now, that's the quote, right? That's the quote. And then he says, but look, there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, I didn't do it. And I guess that's why it went kind of nuts. Look, he still wants guaranteed money. And it makes sense for the Packers to guarantee some of his existing money, maybe ask. I don't know if he's going to ask for more. He also said in that interview with McAfee that they haven't had any of these conversations yet. But those conversations are going to happen.
Right.
So this idea that he diffused everything and, like Frank Drebin in front of the fireworks store that's exploding in the Naked Gun, nothing to see here, please disperse. That ain't where we're at, man. And so he did a great job of diffusing the excitement and the trade talk and everything else that sprung up from this. But this is not resolved, and that's the reality.
Jason, it seems like if he did anything, he assured people that everything will be fine as long as the Packers play by my rules. So by that math, I kind of figure that the only way he leaves is if he wants to. Am I reading that right?
Look, here's I know you guys, haven't been around Waddle forever and other players. The NFL is a one-way street when it comes to contracts, right? Because Aaron Rodgers is under contract for the next 3 years. But in no way are the Packers committed to keeping him for all 3 years, right? They can cut him after the 2021 season or trade him or whatever it ends up being, and there's nothing he can do about it. But if he were to try to say, look, I need more guaranteed money after I just put together an MVP season, and I want you to spread the money out in guaranteed signing bonus, so then the cap ties me to here for at least 2022 as well. And if Brian Gutekunst, their GM, says, no, we're not going to do that, what's his option? Withholding his services? That's all he's got left, right? It is just, it's so different than the NBA and Major League Baseball where, you sign that contract for $134 million and you're getting $134 million, even if you blow out your elbow and never pitch again. So my frustration as someone who obviously has covered every snap he's ever played and known him forever and did 4 years of radio shows with him in Milwaukee and Madison is that his answer that everyone is so, that everything's been put to bed. We can't be that naive. Like, that is not the world we live in, but he did a great job of saying it in a way that if you just take that first sentence, you can shrug and go, see, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. I will say this probably beats having a crappy quarterback and trying to figure out what you're going to do at quarterback when you have to deal with that instead.
Oh, yeah, you don't want our problem.
No, it's awful.
Yeah, you want this problem. We're talking to Jason Wilde on the Corona Hotline. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Connor McKnight is in for Waddle. So I want to counter something that he said, too, and something that you talked about. I know it's different, the contract in the NFL from the NBA, but the power may not be different. And while he says he doesn't control it and Green Bay controls it, like you said, he could withhold service. He's got power. Shefty has alluded that he's got power. And Shefty wouldn't say this stuff if he doesn't know something. So do you believe there's a chance this offseason that Aaron Rodgers would demand a trade from the Packers?
So I first of all, I certainly agree that Adam Schefter has sources. And I would be willing to bet, despite one of the things that Aaron Rodgers said today, that David Dunn, his agent, is among the people who talked to him or somebody in his office or whatever. So that's one. Two, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you say, look, I do not want to be a lame duck quarterback, that I'm here for 2021 and you're not committed to me despite an MVP season beyond the 2021 season. And they say, sorry, you're no different than our nickel corner or our fifth defensive lineman. I think that's what would trigger any sort of, then I'm not coming to camp. If they have camp or off-season program, whatever, and I do not want to be here anymore. I do think the problem is that we skipped the step for those that made a really big deal about the idea of him being traded and not being with the Packers, because the intermediate step that matters and either causes that nuclear option or avoids it is getting more guaranteed money and that commitment from the team, which again makes perfect sense for a team that whether the cap stays flat or the cap drops, they've got some really good players that they're not going to be able to re-sign otherwise. So moving his money around and lowering his cap number for 2021 not only sends the commitment message to him, but it also helps them keep good players, which I would think would be important.
Does Jordan Love factor into this at all? Because the way you've set that up there, it's almost like we were headed for something like this, maybe not exactly this, but like this, regardless of whether Jordan Love got picked by the Packers.
Here's the problem with Jordan Love. I saw him in training camp. I was not impressed. I remember I was there for Aaron Rodgers' rookie camp, and he made a lot of mistakes too. But one or two throws of practice he would make where you said, all right, I can see why they like this guy. And he would let it loose. I never saw that. I think I saw one throw from Jordan Love in camp where I was like, wow, that's a pretty good throw. The problem, of course, is there were no preseason games. So we on the outside have no idea about Jordan Love. On the inside, at least he got work during practice throughout the season. But again, he wasn't their primary backup. Tim Boyle was. So he had to get a bunch of work. So I don't even know how much Jordan Love even progressed during the season. Mm. So with all that information, you know, I don't even know. Let's say the nuclear option were to occur, which again, I am not saying that. I know there are others that have talked about that possibility. I am not. I don't have the reporting to back up that idea at all. But if it were to come to that, is Jordan Love even ready to be the starter? Or are they in a situation where they, like, would need Tim Boyle, their backup that nobody even knows outside of Green Bay, to start for a year before Jordan Love's ready for it? I don't know that.
Before we let you go, Wildy, how bad was the decision to not go for it on fourth down in all the football decisions you've seen?
I've seen some really bad decisions. I've done this for a really long time now because I'm old. But I thought it was really interesting that ESPN Stats and Information and their analytics folks basically said that they favor the statistics favored going for it, but not by a ton, actually by a very small margin. Look, if they don't have the two-minute warning and three timeouts, then I think it's a horrible decision. I still think it was the wrong decision. But I also understand, let's see, you had first and goal from the six earlier in the game, settled for a field goal. On that drive, you had first and goal from the eight. You had three incompletions. Now you're facing fourth down. You also have to get the two-point conversion because one of those wide receivers that you decided were good enough that you didn't have to add anybody this offseason dropped the two-point conversion. So now you have to get the fourth down and eight touchdown and the two-point conversion to tie the game. So, and either way, even if you score that, to win the game, you still have to stop Tom Brady from setting up a field goal to win it as time expires. So your defense has to get a stop either way. I think it was the wrong decision, but I don't think it was like coaching malpractice wrong.
Really?
How's that sound?
It's still Rodgers. You're still, and even though all that happened early, you're still taking the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands in the most important time of the football game.
Yep. You're right. Sylvie, you're right. I do think it's the wrong decision, but I don't. And the other problem with that is that the ball is being then put in Tom Brady's hand, which, again, that's not Joe average quarterback getting the problem. And Tausch was asking me, if you got to pick one play from the game that you would want to see go differently, what would it be? And, of course, Packers fans said, well, the third and goal from the eight, I want to see Rodgers try to run it in. Great answer. Mine was, I want to see that pass interference on third and four from the 37 that Brady throws across the middle to Tyler Johnson. I want to see that flag not thrown. Because then it's fourth and four from the 37. They most likely punt the ball away to the Packers. Aaron Rodgers gets the ball back with 1:35 left and a timeout. And that decision that they made on fourth and eight ends up not killing them. And then we get to see if he can go down and win the game. And that is the moment that I regret as an observer, because I think that would have been really great drama.
Yeah. Well, Wildy, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. All right, all the best to you.
You got it, buddy. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy, great guy. Fantastic.
This is breaking news.
It scares the hell out of me every time.
I'm alarmed.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
I think Connor just pooped.
What's happening?
This is from the Bulls, gentlemen. An injury update. Wendell Carter Jr., an MRI has confirmed a severe right quad contusion. He will be reevaluated in 4 weeks.
Wow.
And this, marks the third straight year that Carter will miss at least a month of the season due to injury. So he's going to be out at least 4 more weeks.
How did he suffer the quad contusion? But that's a long time, isn't that?
It is.
Oof.
Man, you could feel his absence last. Well, felt a lot of absences last night. But you could definitely feel his last night.
Yeah, absences from guys who are on the court.
You're supposed to be there. God, what were they doing? Oh, last night was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about the 85 Bears. This day also brought terrible, terrible news 1 year ago. We will pay tribute to the man that we miss, for sure, in the sports world. That's next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Today is one of those days that you commemorate the life of Kobe Bryant, his daughter. And there were others who lost their life as well. Like, everyone always talks about Kobe. There was Kobe Bryant. There was his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna. There was a baseball coach, John Altobelli. There were 5 other passengers and the pilot as they were going to the AAU basketball game. It was 1 year ago today. I follow Vanessa Bryant on Instagram, and just to see her posts, it just breaks your heart with every post. That how she has had to grieve over the last year, not only for, you know, her love Kobe Bryant, but her 13-year-old daughter to go through that. It's unbelievable to think that he's been gone for a year, to remember that day, the text messages that were explained, and then the outpouring of love that LA showed him, and the country showed him, really.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, it's been, I hope I use the right word here. I follow Vanessa on Instagram as well. And I just so, I'm going to use the word appreciate, and I hope it comes through. I so appreciate her. She'll express the good days. She'll post about the good stuff going on in her life. She'll post about the good stuff that the family goes through, that they, you know, moments that they have together, stuff like that. And then we'll also post about how crushing everything is and how real it all is and how difficult it has been, all in the same kind of breath, all in the same kind of here's what grieving is. Here's how this looks like. Here's how this fits for us as a family and whatnot. And sure, their family's, you know, the public people, and it's a little bit different from theirs to mine or to yours. But I don't know, Sylvie, I really appreciate seeing that and seeing that made, that process made okay or out loud in a way that, you know, I don't know that I'd be able to do necessarily, but she has. And it's something I've just really appreciated over the last year.
And she could have all those thoughts all in one day. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like that, and she does.
That's what it goes through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really incredible. And she even posted, I want to say this was a week or two ago. I don't know if you saw this. She was even saying at first that she wanted this day to not be like this, because this was the worst day of her life.
Sure.
January 26th, 2020 was the worst day of her life. She lost her 13-year-old. She lost her husband. And, like, people talk about the anniversary, you know, to remember him and everything like that. But it is a horrible, horrible day. I want to play you this as we remember, though, the life of Kobe Bryant.
I started playing basketball since I was 2, and I haven't put it down since. The sound of the ball bouncing against the hardwood, the smell of the leather, the sound that it makes when it goes through the net, all of that. I just love everything about it.
I have decided to skip college and take my talent to the NBA.
Jerry West told me greatness lies ahead for this young man.
Kobe Bryant, the kid,
shooting the
official 81-point game.
History at Staples Center.
Kobe Bryant at the buzzer!
Kobe Bryant!
One of the greatest of all time.
And we'll rise up. I like the waves. We'll rise up. In spite of the ache, we'll rise
NBA
up.
NBA Most Valuable Player Award.
We'll do it a thousand times again.
Back to the Clippers!
Kobe was someone I just always wanted to be like.
He meant so much to me as a player.
And it's the reason why I play the game the way I play the game.
His impact is everlasting.
I love everything about this game. So for me, it's not a part of life, it is life. And it's truly a part of me.
That was looking back at Kobe Bryant. And the thing that Waddle and I always talked about, Connor, was this man was just starting to live his true life. Like, everyone thinks about him as a basketball player. But now the dad, you know, the girl dad that was made so famous,
yeah.
That the success that he was having off the court in business ventures and Dear Basketball. You know, this man had so much to offer the world, as did those other lives as well, that we will never see. And it's just one of those tragic days that unfortunately you commemorate, because that's how you chronicle life sometimes. But it's horrible to look back on it and to reflect on it.
Does it feel like longer than a year to you?
Boy, you know, there are so many times. I mean, this is the 2020 calendar year for a variety of reasons.
Oh, sure.
All of us,
yeah,
we're always going to remember this. And there are times when I think that this year, and this is, Wilbon said this today on SportsCenter, this was really like, you were all set for the Super Bowl when you heard this news. You know, you're in your little sports cocoon,
yeah,
and you were doing your thing over, I think it was a Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
And so you're in you're doing your stuff, and then this is like when the first moment of 2020 that you realized it went bad, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse for 2020. And there are times in my life, because of the journey that I went on,
yeah,
and because of going through COVID, that I think, wow, I can't believe we're in January of 2021 already. I can't believe this has nearly been a year where we have shut this thing down into early March. And then it just seems like Groundhog Day every day, and it seems like it's been 5 years. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Oh, 100%. There are days where a week has lasted months, and where months lasted about an hour. I mean, it's just it's crazy to think about the time shortening and expanding effects that have gone over the last little bit. I don't want to. I hope we all emerge from this and from all of our collective trauma and all get to celebrate some. Like, that's all I, yeah, keep putting my hopes on, truly, is that, and you know, I'm a baseball guy, and I'm hoping we get to see everybody at guaranteed rate in a couple of months, or however long it takes,
right,
for this to be as
some
safe
point
as possible.
This season.
Yes.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I need that. I need to see that normal come back. I need to see that for a whole bunch of different reasons.
This is the first time in my life, and this is off of Kobe, but this is the first time in my life where, I don't know if this has happened to you three, where I forget what month it is sometimes. Where I think it's December, but then I'm like, oh my gosh, we're at the end of January. Or like forever in the summer, like it just felt like the world paused on March 11th or whatever that date was.
Yeah.
When the NBA shut down and school ended and everything stopped. And then I've always known, hey, it's January 26th today. Or if it's not the 26th, you think it's the what day is today? Is it January 25th or is it the 27th? Like, you may be off a day, but there are times in my life where I literally have to pause during this whole stuff, and I don't know what month it is because everything's so out of whack on where we are with the calendar and what has happened in the last year.
There is, and especially, man, obviously you've been, like you said, you've had a journey. I can't imagine trying to identify anything called normal over the last 8 months. I can't imagine trying to put your finger on anything that feels normal, because there's been nothing. Nothing that's normal.
And we all have something, right? I mean, it's all of us. People listening in their car, what it's been like. So,
yeah.
But wanted to look back and commemorate, obviously, Kobe Bryant, his daughter, beautiful daughter, all those people who lost their lives in that helicopter accident 1 year ago today. Or would you rather, coming up in about 15 minutes, let's give that time to breathe here. Your last call for Would You Rather entries, send them to us using the hashtag WS Would You Rather. I've got a couple that I wanted to share with you. One that I discussed with something on a pod with somebody on a podcast. I'll throw that to you. We're giving away a gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. While we're on the topic of sort of, roughly, and we gave you the Wendell Carter news, basketball, let's talk a little bit about last night's Bulls game. We could do that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Get your Would You Rather entries in. Hashtag it WS Would You Rather on Twitter. Send them to us and send them to Black and Abdallah so they can find it easier. The winner will get a gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. We'll do that in about 10 minutes from right now. I've got one, too, that I went on with a podcaster, and he offered up something.
Okay.
And it will pick your brain here. But I want to get to the Bulls. We just told you about the injury news with Carter, that he's out for at least 4 more weeks with this serious thigh contusion, quad contusion. I watched the last 2 games, and I've watched every Bulls game. And the people who listen to the show know I'm a huge Bulls fan. And I have enjoyed this season because they have shown you that they're going to compete. And after the first 3 games of the year when they didn't compete, most games have been competitive. Even that West Coast trip, they started with a huge win in Portland. Okay, then they did not finish in Sacramento. They did not finish against both LA teams. But they were still fun to watch. And the way Waddle and I have always monitored this situation is not necessarily with the wins and losses. And they may be at one time 8-9 or 7-8, and they're creeping towards 500. But it's the growth. We want to see the growth. We want to see the difference in coaching. And it's a big year on finding out who are the true core pieces. Can Kobe White be a point guard? Or is he more of a combo six-man guy? Can Lauri Markkanen reestablish that he's a true core piece? And let me start with those two. Because in these last 2 games, and this is where I'm sort of perplexed about the future, where they've been more fun to watch. And Zach LaVine's been really, really good. But what do they have in especially those 2 guys? And I think these are 2 really important guys into a lot of the things they want to do. Kobe White has got to distribute a little bit better. He's shooting 40% from the field. He looked like he was not ready to play against the Lakers. He looked like he was clearly outclassed and was intimidated being on the court. It's been ever since the game they choked away in Oklahoma City. If you look at the games he has had since, they won that big game in Dallas. He went 0-for-5 from the field that game. The next game he went 4-of-12. The next game 6-of-15. The Laker game, it's even the numbers of 5-of-13 are even. They can sway. They don't tell the story because he sucked in that first half. He didn't do anything until they were down 30. And yesterday against Boston, you take 6 shots and you do what you do. And Markkanen scored 18 points, but there are times on the court where Markkanen just looks like a Niko Mirotic, where he just looks like a dude who is going to have some good games and bad games, but isn't a true core piece. And this is what has me worried. And I don't want to overreact. It is only 17 games, and they are still learning, and they're still getting over Boylan. But what I have seen from these 2 players especially has me a little concerned. How do you guys feel?
The turnovers against the Celtics last night were terrible. I mean, it's really hard. I don't like to play the did you come to play tonight? Like, were you there to show up? But that's what it seemed like. And when you let – Jason Goff talks about this all the time on the pre- and post-game show on NBC Sports Chicago, and he's fantastic. You can do it against the bottom third of the league. You can do it against the middle part of the league. Can you go get the big boys? Can you go play against the top teams, guys who really know what they're doing? Jaylen Brown made it look easy. He got anything he wanted. Coming up and down the paint, there was no resistance to him. That's my biggest worry about Markin, and has been for a long time. You play defense? Can you play any kind of defense against the big guy you're going to have to go and spot up against? And Brown got to play big last night. Tatum got to play big last night. I forgot
that
how
was
much.
His first. That was Tatum's first game.
Looked like he'd been playing all
sitting
year.
Sitting out a ton. Yeah.
It looks like he's a 10-year vet. He's 22 years old, and he is filled. That dude, Sylvie, he put on some, like, solid basketball weight. Jason Tatum is a dude. And they just ran up and down the floor. There was zero resistance from the Bulls. Absolutely none whatsoever.
Like, 3 years ago, Black, I don't know how you feel about these guys. 3 years ago, I thought Lauri Markkanen was at least going to be a core piece that you can grow with going forward. What would he be? I didn't know if he would be a star, but he would definitely be a core piece. And he'd be this seven-foot guy who could go inside and outside, and he could do a lot of a lot. He can do, maybe not a true star, but he can certainly do a lot of different things. And now I don't know. Is he tough? I don't know what's gone on with him. And I'm worried that Kobe's overthinking it and that he's trying to be too much of a point guard and it's taking his true talent away of scoring. So I'm worried about what these guys are now and what they could be.
And I think you nailed it. Are they tough? I think Kobe White, are you tough? Markkanen, are you tough? When you look at Markkanen, I know a lot of Bulls fans love the box score, but they don't love actually watching what
right.
he's doing on the court. And you and I and Connor will get recited that Markkanen last night went 7 for 12, 18 points, 6 rebounds. Hey, cut the guy a break. He had a good night. 18
Not
points.
If you watched.
Meanwhile, he's a turnstile, and on the other end of the floor, he's giving up buckets left and right. And here's what I think is going to be interesting over the next 4 to 6 weeks, right? With Wendell Carter out, is he more valuable to this team than Lauri Markkanen? And then how do you respond with that going forward? Because, like, that's the thing. We watched this Lakers game on Saturday night, and we say, okay, you didn't show up. Connor, you said you don't like doing that. I'm going to do that. They didn't show up
Fair.
Against the Lakers.
Fair.
And in a normal year, the Lakers on a Saturday night at the UC would have been a marquee event for
right.
all of us to have our eyeballs on. And you know, there's no crowd there, so maybe some people aren't paying attention. They flat out did not show up against the Lakers. So what did I ask? Show up against the Celtics. You may not be as good as the Celtics, but show up and compete. Guys, they didn't compete last night. They didn't compete. They didn't take care of the basketball, 19 turnovers, 6 from Zach LaVine, the star of the team. Remind you, he's supposed to take the next step, Sylvie, except he's not winning more. And this is my entire thing with Zach LaVine. I get it. He can't do it all himself, but is he adding to this team moving forward in the right direction when they don't play defense, they're sloppy with the basketball, and they don't compete against teams at the top level in the NBA.
Well, here's my problem with that, though, is that Zach has shown up. And when your point guard doesn't show up or your point guard isn't developing and he's getting worse, and like you just said against the Lakers, all right, Kobe, you were outclassed against the Lakers. That's fine. You're a young player. You're growing. Now what you got against the Celtics here a couple of days later, 6 shots?
Yeah,
You scored 5 points. You're not distributing the ball. You had 1 assist last night. Kobe White played 24 minutes and scored 3 points and had 1 assist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is Zach LaVine supposed to get any better when they don't have a true point guard on this team?
Someone's got to score eventually. You know, LaVine had 6 turnovers, only 3 assists. So, like, I get it that there's going to be a lot of push. I always get pushback on the LaVine thing. I'm just saying, like, yeah, he had the 30 points. The Bulls weren't in this game at all last night. And that's what's disappointing to me. If he is that player, set a tone from the jump. You're at home. And I get it. You're not as good as the Celtics. Don't let them push you around.
They cut it to 9 on a LaVine 3. And it immediately the Celtics went on like a 6-0
yeah.
run. Because I mean, truly, it was. I think it was 2 break points. Or 2 fast break buckets. And then it was over.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, they got a shot here. Yeah. And then, bam, I blinked, and they were done.
It was after a marketing three, right? It was a step into three from marketing from Levine. I think it was one of his assists.
I think you're right.
Marketing buried it, and then, boom, here come. Because didn't the Celtics call a timeout after that marketing three? And then they came out, and then, boom, here come the Celtics, and they put on that run.
You know, here's the thing. And you guys have watched more Bulls basketball than I have. You know, I was
told. We're a big Bulls show.
We were told that Coby White played fast, that he was on the break and dangerous all last night. And maybe this is credit to Brad Stevens, who does a good job defensively still, to the Celtics, who did a good job scheming things up. But he seemed indecisive every time he brought the ball over the line.
To go with that, Connor, and I think this, to me, this is how I'm watching this season. Like, I'm not tied to any of these dudes. And I don't think that the front office is. And the front office that's in place right now and the coaching staff didn't pick Coby. And maybe these guys aren't the guys. You know, maybe the showing up and not being able to compete against good teams, while it's frustrating in the moment, maybe it's a good thing. Because ultimately, if they decide that these guys aren't the guys and they're in more of a rebuild than they thought that they were getting invested in, maybe it's a good thing that they're finding out now that these guys aren't just ain't it. And maybe it's time to move on from some of them. And I know Bulls fans might be tied to this, quote, core, but the front office isn't.
Well, one's tied to the core. I know, and that's the number one priority from this season that I say, who's good, who's not. And let's find that out under a new coach now. Here's one comp. Let me give you one comp to because people are bringing up, boy, Coby White, Mitch Trubisky. I don't agree with that.
No.
Let me give you one. Kyle Schwarber, I loved Kyle Schwarber. When Joe decided, coming off the injury after the big World Series, to put Schwarber in the leadoff spot, he got off to a slow start, and now he's leading off, and now he's not used to doing what he's doing, see ball, hit ball. He's trying to work the counts more and more. He became a head case. And I don't know if he wasn't in that leadoff spot, if it would have happened, but I feel like Coby White, who may not be a point guard like Schwarber was in a leadoff hitter, is thinking so much about trying to be the point guard that now he's becoming worse at all the skills that he's good at.
I think it's a great comp. I think it's got legs, too, because I think there's still skill set in Coby White that's going to keep him in the league for a long time. And I think the same with Kyle Schwarber. If he hits right-handers for power for the rest of his and that's all he does, he'll be in this league for a long time. But you got to get more out of those guys where you drafted them. So far, you know, Cubs haven't. We'll see if the Nationals can. So far, the Bulls would like to see more, too.
Right, yeah. All right, so there's some Bulls conversation for you. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776, and we'll get to Would You Rather next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Dick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
That's right. The late, great Dick Enberg actually called the Super Bowl 35 years ago when the Bears won it all in Super Bowl 20. Would you rather? Brought to you by our great friends at Grand and Western Liquors, located at the corner of Grand and Western. Pass the savings along to you the way it should be, right in the heart of Chicago. Lots of free parking. Anything you want. What's your drink, Connor?
God, what have I been going with lately during this pandemic? Kind of whatever I can get my hands on.
Okay, yeah.
I like a good frosty pilsner, you know, a lager.
So you're a beer guy.
A Kolsch. I could do a Kolsch.
Look at you.
Well, you know, I went to school at Wisconsin, and I'll say it often, and I won't apologize for it. It's one of the finest institutions of learning and drinking in the land, and I learned a lot there. And I learned not to discriminate. You drink your drink. You drink whatever it is that's in front of you.
That is a good philosophy to have.
I do.
And that's a philosophy we have on this show.
I do like a nice single malt, though. Don't get me wrong.
They've got it all at Grand and Western. That's the point. So, all right, what do we have, boys? Let's see if Connor can handle this.
All right, well, I told them some of these are sports and some of them are weird, like this one. If you were avalanched into your house, would you rather eat your radio partner or your pet first?
Which radio partner?
Oh, this is terrible. This is what we're going to do first?
Yeah, who are you eating first, Waddle or the imaginary pet? Because, you know, let's say your dog was still with us.
Now you got to bring up my dead dog?
Well, I mean,
first you're going to ask me who I'm meeting, like now you're bringing up my dead dog?
It's not like it happened a week ago.
It is a horrible situation. Remember how your dog's dead?
It's not like it happened a week ago. I mean, come on.
Right, I know. People, when they still, like, on some bios, they'll be like, Sylvie lives here with his two kids, his wife, and his Jack Russell. And I'll email back. I'll be like, and Cosmo's no longer with us. And they'll be so apologetic. I'm like, he died in 2015. You know, it's a long time ago.
We're only dealing with current radio partners in this hypothetical, correct?
Yeah, this is dog all day, isn't it? I mean,
no, dog's gonna make it, man.
You gotta choose between Casper and
yeah, Len or
DJ or the dog.
No, I mean Sylvie, it's been nice. It's been a fun 2 days, but my man, you're going down.
Don't worry.
I'm taking you down.
Oh, really? Over the dog? Really?
Yeah, I would
absolutely. You're going to eat a human being?
Of course. Absolutely, I would.
There's more meat on the bone.
That's fair.
You have more to offer than the dog.
Not as much meat as you think.
It's crisis meat. Yeah, but Penny is just, my dog is, she's 41 pounds and it's mostly fluff. There's nothing there to that dog. And then I gotta live with the guilt of that. I mean, we've only just met. I can handle that.
I can't believe this is the first question. That's the essence of it right there, though. What's next?
All right, so should I hit him with a sports one then?
Whatever you got.
Well, here's one. Would you rather have a full and healthy D. Rose Bulls career?
But why do you go yuck with that?
Because
That's depressing.
Or draft Mahomes and see where it takes the Chicago Bears.
What is Mahomes?
Yeah, it's
a full and healthy Derrick Rose career with the Chicago Bulls.
That's a dream, though, isn't it? I mean, sometimes
I already have Bulls championships.
Think about it.
He
takes down LeBron in the Heatles.
I know, but sometimes I stay up nights watching like Derrick Rose rookie year highlight film.
Down that rabbit hole. That's so
yes.
Come on, Sylvie. There's no better story in the history of Chicago if Rose would have stayed healthy and brought a championship.
Just like alone in my living room with the lights off.
It's a great story, Chris. But the story of that first great quarterback in Chicago, and if we would have had that guy, who people are now calling Baby Goat. Give me that guy.
No, you guys know the deal. If Mahomes had this Bears offensive line, they wouldn't make the playoffs.
9-7. 9-7, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm every caller that calls into these shows, right?
Yeah, it's Mahomes.
Give us another one or two.
All right, so you guys, have you seen the spring break things where you do the body shots?
Because it's
kind of like that. Well, I mean, I'm just painting you a picture. So imagine you're on spring break. Would you rather drink Gatorade that has been dumped down Yurko or down Cap?
This is a takeoff on the sushi one.
We got a couple sushi ones too.
What flavor I'm Gatorade?
I don't think that matters.
What do you mean? What flavor?
If you choose,
lemon lime, I'm going with Yurko. If it's grape, I'm going with Cap.
Yeah, it's the blue punch. I feel like that. You know, Cap's kind of tropical as it is.
If it's
that
glacier ice, it's Yurko for sure. I mean, come on.
I'm going Yurko because Cap is going to be bragging about it for years and telling this story for years and years.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
So I'm going Yurko.
That's a good – see, I thought that, you know, Cap's probably shaves, right? I mean,
I was going to say that the Cap is probably smoother.
Yeah.
So there's less likely –
impediment. There's less sediment.
Less,
you know how like a frosty beer sometimes has that little stuff at the bottom?
Yeah.
You know, like it's a home brew. So I don't want that.
I feel like
mess with
Cap is smoother, so you might have to go with Cap.
But oh, Sylvie, you're right, man. I don't want to –
Hey, do you remember that time, Connor?
Oh, God.
Do you remember that time when you first got to the radio station and you had the fruit punch Gatorade? And then I was there, and let me tell you – it was ridiculous.
You got a name drop somewhere in there.
And did I ever tell you the
Somebody
time?
Somebody famous watched it.
Waddle and I used to do the show Down the Dial for so many years. Before Sylvie, of course, there was me as Waddle's co-host. And by the way, who was the first person that you ever drank Gatorade off of? It was me. I drank Gatorade off of Ryan Pace's body 3 years ago in a Mexican restaurant. Take that.
Yeah, you're right. For the story aspect alone, it's got to be Yurko.
Yes.
I feel like if it had to be one of the two, it would be, you know, Yurko would do it and we'd never talk about it again.
It would never be unspoken. Yes. I like that's a ripoff. The guy needs alcohol who's thinking about the dog or the human. Give that guy the he needs some booze. Give him the gift card.
C.
Is baseball going to get shut out again?
Of course it is.
Well, we should find out in 2 short minutes.